Getting ready. Chapter 8, verse 13 is where we left off. And I'm going to go back and read 11 to get us there. I think it will help a little bit. It says, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Is they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. And they will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. Now, God has given Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he's called, a list of, may I say grievances, or would, I don't know if the word complaints is a good word, that he has against the people. Charges may be even a better word. He's charging these people that I've done this, I've done that, and he will go through several times what all he has done for them, and yet they are totally inappreciative. The other day I was coming off of one of the interstates, all the interstates are the same just about, and somebody reached over to give a guy, you know, a hand out, I'm homeless. He'd been homeless for 4 days in a row at that same spot. I don't know how he gets there if he's homeless. But they brought him over, and he looked, held his hand out, and they gave him a bottle of water. He just threw it. I want water, I want money. So some people just don't appreciate things. And evidently, Israel is much the same. And God's trying to say, you know, when do I stop helping them? How far do I go? There is the last year or so, I've heard the phrase multiple times, comebackers. You ever heard the phrase comebackers? It's when the kids leave the house and they weren't successful what they've done, whatever happened, and they come back home to mom and daddy. Living in mom and daddy's basement is, of course, they don't do that in Florida because we don't have any basements, but other than that, living in mom and daddy's basements, and just sort of like demanding it to be like they were when they were 12 or 14. God says, I'm not raising you anymore. And that's what he's pointing to in the next four or five chapters in a row. They have no shame. You ever meet anybody had no shame? I'm sure you have just, whatever you do for them, isn't enough. You give them a hamburger, they want a steak. Yeah. You give them a steak, they want potatoes to go with it. I mean, just a whole series of things. And they don't mind asking for it. And well, God does love a cheerful giver, but yet he also says that we are responsible a lot for ourselves and that we should be acknowledging when somebody helps us. I appreciate it. I will take away their harvest. If you've ever had a garden, if you've ever lived on a farm, you know how quick a harvest can be destroyed. Last night's frost, if it had gone down maybe 3 or 4 or 5 more degrees, it would have been some serious hurt on the vegetables and on the fruit in this area. Now, thank God it didn't. In 1988, we had in Kentucky, and probably it was in Tennessee, I don't know how far west it went, a severe drought. I mean, so hot it was, so dry that it was, we could stick our hands down in our yard, foot and a half deep. Well, short arm, I got the alligator arm, but the ground was drying and cracking up. A lot of basements up home were destroyed because the foundation pulled away from them and all the weatherproofing and everything was gone. And we were feeding our sheep grass, hay, that was actually brought in from the farmers out west that some of the car dealerships were giving away to the farmers because there was nothing grass to eat. So you get a good drought. On the other hand, I enjoy talking in the spring with, I forgot who I'm talking to, Gerald. Last spring they had an early rainy season. And they were like 6 or 8 weeks behind getting the soybeans in the ground because the ground was so wet. Plow it, they couldn't even get a tractor in it. Locusts or bugs. Do any of y'all have what's called a tent caterpillar? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? They get up there and they grow a lot in the black cherry trees or wild cherry trees and just can destroy trees after trees after trees. So there's all kind of things that can happen to us. You're pointing to one? Gypsy moths.
Somebody brought these moths into the United States, in the United States to make silk out of them. Silk worm.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work out, so we left them out. And what happened was the gypsy moths.
Wow. They
got so bad, they had, in summertime, in Pennsylvania, they had to stay on the road in the summertime, and our trucks get up the hills, because the gypsy moths were all over the roads. When they run over, they would make slime, and they'd have a track. That's the truth.
Nasty. Nasty. You ever hear the boll weevil? Destroyed cotton after that? And there's what is, now they had the Dutch elm disease that kills the Dutch elm trees, but there isn't some kind of a boar that goes into a lot of those trees and kills them up north? So a season can wipe out a person's whole career. And talk about potato bugs and tomato bugs and all that kind of stuff. There'll be no figs. There'll be no grapes on the vine. Their leaves will wither. Things that they eat, things that depend on, the grapes and the figs. What I have given them will be taken away from them. So in the 13th verse, God is telling Jeremiah, I'm going to get even. Actually, I'm going to get their attention is what he's actually trying to say. I'm going to get their attention. We go down to verse 19. Listen to the cry of my people. From a land far away, is the Lord not in Zion? Is their king no longer here? Well, they have been captured. The people have been captured several times. They've been in Babylon and other places. And he said, this is the center. Why are they gone from there? Because of their sins. And it doesn't take... none of you all are old enough to remember World War II. We're the baby boomer group. But you've heard of it. How many places were disrupted in Europe when the Nazis came through and would just take over? I saw it. The Roots guy, not the Roots guy, but the guy that does your DNA and your ancestors and all that stuff. Well, Gates, Louis Gates, he did a show one night about these people who lived right on a border town, and those people in the same house had been in four different countries, depending on which way the armies were going. So things can just wipe you out that fastly. And it did a lot in Israel as well. Verse 19, listen to my people cry from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? But they're not here. Is their king no longer there? No, he's gone. Well, we go on. Why have they provoked me to anger with their images? We're back to the idols things. It just seems to be the most disrespectful what the people can do to God is the worship of the creation of idols. It will be mentioned through the entire Old Testament, but through this book specifically a lot. They're worthless foreign idols. The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved. They didn't deserve it. And they didn't get it. Go down to, this is a famous line. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? Look that city up, if you will. G-I-L-A-D-E. The bombs of Gilead is a famous phrase. Bomb is a, by nature, is a thick, gooey substance. We talk about gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's more of the myrrh flavor. It's a sap from a bush. Not a tree, but a bush. We had growing up, red wild cherries. Remember wild cherries? And if you break a little bit on it, and that sap would start to run, it would get amber hard, get real solid and hard. It would drip in big gobs of it. Matter of fact, that's the first part, if you remember, the dinosaurs. What was that called? The movie about the dinosaurs. Yeah, they found a mosquito in the amber. They got out and they got the blood from the creatures. Yeah, that was the amber from the red cherry. So, you find it, the city of Gilead, got a new screen up, and you can't find anything. Wash his hands, the computer won't work. Let me know when you get there. We go on down to 9, verse 18. You got it? Right in the middle. Just north of the Dead Sea, a lot of traffic would have been up and down the River Jordan, somewhere in between Gad and Reuben. And it was a famous place for the salves that they would have to bring them healing. My best comparison would be Neosporin, something like that. You know, when you're growing up, either your grandmother put on your cure comb, iodine, which burnt you. You'd rather have your leg fall off and get iodine put on it. Or Neosporin. Thick. Yeah. Well, there was also one for milk cattle called Utter Balm. Yeah. And when they would get all roughed up, they would put that on them and soothe them. So that's a known term. Verse 7 of chapter 9. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, that line says, okay, here we are. Wake up. See, I will refine and test them. For what else can I do because of the sin of my people? Y'all ever been near an oil refinery? We had them up in the Chicagoland area. And they would take that. The oil comes out of the ground. It doesn't look like what you put in your car. They have a heavy crude and a light crude. Different thicknesses and different amounts of sulfur stuff. But they take it to they refract it. And if you look up oil refinery and see how many different products comes out of a gallon of oil. I mean, perfumes, there's all kind of stuff. But you use the heat process and the cracking process. But that's the refining. Also, in jewelry making, they take the ore from gold, silver, whatever they're looking for, and they heat it up super, and the melting temperature of the rock is so much higher than the melting temperature of the minerals that you want that they will melt out and run over, and that's called the refining of the unit. And usually there's a lot of slag they have to take off of it. So that's the refining process. You take heat and you make something good of it. He says, well, I'll refine and test them. Yeah, are they worth keeping? Are these people worth my effort? Some projects we start are not worth the effort we get into it. You know, you try digging a tree, you want to put in a big Christmas tree or something like that, and all of a sudden there's rocks and more rocks and then clay. And you say, this is not worth the effort. You try to dig a well and can't get down more than 2 or 3 feet. This is not worth the effort. You give up on it. You got it up? Look at the products. Propane, butane, liquefied gas, light naphtha is a cleaning, gasoline, aviation gasoline, jet fuel, kerosene, diesel, industrial gas, residential fuel oil, asphalt, base oils, polypropylene, can't say that word, aromatics, I think that means it smells good, wax, grease, white oil, white spirit, sulfur, pet coke, and there's another one they've not mentioned. Vaseline comes through the oil well process, Vaseline itself. So, and then find out more, but you know, there's at least 15 or 20. All come from the process of refining, getting you what you want. Their tongue is deadly arrow. The apostle writer James, the teacher James, the elder of the church of Jerusalem, James, talked about the tongue. I think it's, I can't remember if it's chapter 3 or chapter 5, but I think it's the book of James chapter 3. If somebody gets there before I do, go ahead and read it. James. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brother, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Scariest verse in the Bible to me. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault, he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. They are so large, driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what great force can be set on fire by a small spark. And the tongue is also like a fire, a whole world of evil through the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course for his life on fire, and is also set on fire by hell. That isn't a good description of a body part, is it? It's a problem. And I would be willing to bet that most of you in here have had your feelings hurt by not somebody who hit you. or stole from you, but spoke bad things to you, spoke evil to you, and hurt your feelings. And they seem to last longer than a physical hurt. Cut me quick to the bone, you've heard that. Well, it's in James, and go back 800 years, it's also in Jeremiah. With his mouth, each sparks cordially, each speaks cordially to his neighbor, but in his heart, he sets a trap for him. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not revenge myself on the nation as this? We, quite frequently, hear, quote, the Lord's name taken in vain. Or you may say it, cursing. Is that what he just now talked about? The damage done with the tongue, with the speech? Has anybody here been a public school teacher or a school teacher beside me? You can see children who are crushed either by what by their parents or family. This whole thing about bullying now, internet bullying. Y'all heard about that? Causing some kids to actually go out and commit suicide. My sister's grandson, she was called to the school one day, her and her daughter both, come pick up your son. He's threatening suicide. He was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and they called him a fatty. And he was going to commit suicide. Well, that's the tongue again, right there. And if it can offend us, it could also offend God. Family Feuds is not just a television show. Yeah. And God says, what am I going to do with it? Verse 12. What man is wise enough to understand this? Question mark. Not a statement, it's a question mark. Who has been instructed by the Lord and who can explain it? Question mark again. He's asking, tell me who it is. Why has the land been ruined and laid to waste like a desert that no one can cross? All the futuristic shows we see pretty much always shows total devastation of the land, mostly by heat. The only one I can remember opposite that is Waterworld, where Kevin Costner, you know, is floating around the world. The only thing that's left is just water. Any of y'all been to Mojave Desert? Huh? The Mojave Desert, you been there? Ever been to Lake Mead around Vegas, and you get out there where there's nothing going on, you know. Y'all need to go over this next couple of days to Sanibel and pick all them iguanas up that fell and take them out that desert so they can warm up. Huh? Be a good time to pick them up. You just put some solid blue ice on it. We call that cold ice. Liquid, solid, dry ice. That'll take care of them. Desert where no one can cross. The Lord says, it's because they have broken my law. That's what happened, which I have set before them. God has given us a direction. When we follow that direction, we've got a whole lot better chance of success. And when we're not successful as much as we think we are, maybe we're as successful as we need to be. Had I been 6'11", I would not be preaching today. I'd be playing the NBA. Or at least my 25th year at UK. I don't know one or the other. But that didn't happen. They followed the Baals. Now, that's just a different type of the false gods and the statues and the idols. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. See, I will make the people eat bitter food and drink poison water. Did you ever eat something that was just so bitter you couldn't find a bathroom fast enough to spit it out? Huh? Salmon. Persimmon. I thought you said you were eating salmon. Persimmon. You ever had salmon, persimmon? Grows your mouth up real tight. Oh, yeah, worse than lemon. My other question is, for instead of bitter, I would use the word hot stuff. I like Mexican. I like gringo Mexican. I don't want that 911 stuff. And I don't want that there's a place called Tijuana Flats that has about 11, 12, 15 different spices. The smell of the last one made my eyes water, made my nose water. That would be a bitter food. Some people may like it. I don't want that. He said it's bitter. And the water is poison. How sad that would be, that the thing that keeps you alive will kill you. Die a slow death. A woman, I tell you this, this is honest and the truth, it was on there Monday. A woman is being charged with murder. And you know what weapon she had? It was about this big. Huh? He killed her husband. She killed her husband. Visine. She poisoned him to death by putting Visine in his drinks. Now, I always heard you put one squirt in and make somebody physically very ill. The eye drops, yeah. There's some kind of... she told you that was your coffee sweetener? Well, if she'd have bought two cases, it really would have been bad. But just a little bit in the water made him die. What? In his coffee. That's why I don't drink coffee. Poison water. I will scatter those peoples among all the nations that neither they nor their fathers have known. You're going to be shipped away. And we do know that Israel's people have been shipped away more than once in their career. Because each time they were being punished for denying God, for worshiping false idols and stuff. Anybody here been to Kansas? Okay, there must be something in that water at Kansas. Because last night, Kansas State and Kansas University, you saw the game? Near the end of the game, somebody was going to dunk it, and somebody took great offense to being dunked upon. And they went to a wailing on each other. I mean, in the ball field, up the aisles, where the people are, they had to call the cops to separate these two groups. Because they did not see it eye to eye about being dunked on and about being dunking. It don't take much to start something, you know. I will scatter them. They had to spread those people apart. They may not be able to play each other for a while. They're talking about what they're going to do for them. Verse 24. But let him who boast about this. No, I'm going to 22. This is what the Lord declares. The dead bodies of men will lie like refuge, trash, in the open field like cut grain behind the reaper. And no one will gather them. There's an old-timey picture of Ma and Pa Kettle type of people standing in the field where they've cut the wheat and they put it up in shocks. And the shocks are all just laying there to be picked up. That's the picture I see when he's talking about this battlefield. Has anybody seen 1917? Well, good, don't tell me how it ends. I think we won the war, but I'm not sure. The Longest Day or Saving Private Ryan. Now, most of you have seen those shows. And just the bodies scattered all over the beachheads when we attacked Judo and the different types of the beach landings in Normandy. I see that in this picture. Just dead land everywhere. Because God put it on them. He says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength. Or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. Don't boast about yourself. That's what he's saying. Let somebody else brag about you. I went to Bryan Station High School, which was the best high school in the state of Kentucky in the 1960s. And I was very proud of it. Until I married a woman from the same school who said, let other people brag about you, don't brag about yourself. But did you not say that more than once? Took several times to catch on. Boast about this, that you know God. For I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth for in those I delight, declares the Lord. So he says, do what is right, and I'll take care of things. You have an option. They just weren't exercising that option at the time. and it was all falling down on them. Verse 25, listen to this one. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt and Judah and Edom and Ammon and Moab, they all live in the desert in distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised. Even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in the heart. God didn't want show. He wanted obedience. And to do something just because you're expected to do it is not going to work. If you've talked to men, well, I'll make it more current, but I'll make it ancient first. If you talk to anybody back who was probably born like 25, 28, even maybe 30, born more 25 to 28, they joined the military. Well, all my friends are joining. I thought that's what I needed to do. I did what they did. If you remember, September the 11th of 01, when they couldn't even take all the volunteers, all able-bodied men I knew were volunteering. So that's what I had to do, they tell you. Well, just doing it because you thought it was the right thing to do is different than doing it because everybody else is doing it. Did you ever ask somebody, why'd you do that? Everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? I don't want to be a stand-alone, stuck out by myself. When you think about it, it's a pretty weak excuse. What we need to be careful of. Then he gets a little tougher in chapter 10. Here's what the Lord has to say. Again, remember. Now this is Jeremiah repeating to the people what God has told him. He's the announcer. They didn't have webs and podcast stuff. They had these itinerant preachers called prophets who go out and speak what God told them. Not for God, but what God had told them. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the sky. I would hate to see a list, Norm. I would hate to see a list of how many different religions we have in this country that were brought over from other countries. In the military now, did you know in the military they have to provide chaplains for druids, for Zen Buddhists? I mean, everything you can think of. The tree, what? A chaplain for atheists. Not very busy, is he? But we do because that's what everybody expects us to do. And there's a lot of times there'll be services for all faiths. Now, I'm not going there. For the customs of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest. Craftsman shapes it with a chisel. They carve it. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nail so it won't fall over. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They're making idols all over the place. That's what people did. They made their own idols. But I think the term's used several times is that dumb idols. Not being dumb, stupid, being dumb that can't speak. So they can't tell anybody anything. I don't know if anywhere else in the Bible it uses the word scarecrow. That's the only time I remember that ever being in there. It may be in there, I don't remember. They must be carried because they can't walk. Of course they can't walk. Come off a tree. Do not fear them where they do no harm, nor can they do any good. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. Anybody? Throw salt over one shoulder or the other. If you spill salt, you can go to a lot of different superstitions or traditions that are supposed to make you feel good, but do they really do any good? That's what everybody else is doing. Are they helpful? Don't seem to be. Break a mirror. I broke one of them. I broke a mirror when I was 7. I thought, I'm going to be in torment until I'm 12. 7 years of bad luck. 14, I was 14. 7 years of bad luck. Because we just worry about things like that. God says, here's what you need to worry about. Obeying me. Worshiping me. Walk underneath the ladder. That's why we folded that one up right there. We don't want to walk underneath of it. They can do you harm. They can't do any good. Here's a little bit of a good side for Mr. Jeremiah. No one like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty and powerful. Who should not revere you? The king of the mountains? This is your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and all the kingdoms, there's no one like you. That'd be a good song if you knew how to write songs. Anybody want to write a song for us? Your relatives are dead. Is there a song called No One Like You? Well, that wasn't what I said. I said there's no one like you. When are you going to play that for a special? It does. When are you going to play a special for us? I don't know that song. I don't remember that I do. Do I remember it? If it's less than 50 years old, it's new. I think Bill Gaither did a little avant-garde. Hammers, silvers brought to tarnish. The gold from UPAS. All the craftsmen and goldsmiths have made is dressed in blue and purple. All made by skilled workers. Do we see idols today? I didn't say things we worship, because we can say money is something we worship. Movie star. Do we actually see physical idols today? Janis Joplin wanted one. She wanted a Mercedes Benz. Because her friends all had Porsches. You heard about the couple country boys that needed some money? Went up to a guy and said, I need some money. He said, well, I'll pay you $300 to paint my Porsche. They came back and it had black paint all over. They said, where's the $300? He said, well, you finished painting the Porsche? He said, that's not a Porsche, that's a Mercedes. Always worth more than that. Come on. Really? If you have to ask for it, it's not that funny. Tell them this, verse 11. These gods who did not make the heavens or the earth will perish. We don't. Does anybody call the name of Baal anymore or Asherah or these type of things? Well, no. But do we do the same thing, like burning our babies and killing people? Yeah. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in heaven roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sees lightning in the rain. So God is showing his power over nature. And the truth is, except for that, was it General Hospital where they had that weather machine for a couple years? Luke and Laura and the... You remember that too, huh? We could not have a class at the college from either 2 to 3 or whatever time it was because the girls would not come to class during General Hospital. With the, y'all remember that? I wouldn't admit it. So you know all about Luke and Laura then, don't you? Oh, yeah. 40 years later, he's telling us about it. Okay. My tent has been destroyed. My ropes have snapped. My sons have gone from me and are no more. No one is left now to pitch my tent or to set up my shelter. Woe is me. Everybody's abandoned me. I'm not what I once was. Think, if you would, and tell me if you can. A powerful country that's been around for 1,000 years. World power for over 1,000 years. Can't think of one? No. Huh? England didn't get going until 1500 or so. Getting going, united. All the clans came together. You can't say China because they kept changing dynasties. You can't say Egypt because they kept changing dynasties. There's nothing that consistent. I mean, we must say that we're probably the most powerful nation ever built. All right, let's not go to 1776. Let's go back to even Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. We can do that. That's still not 1,000 years. It still was America anyway. So things turn over, and things are not that consistent as we like to think we are. And part of it may be that I'll back up. Maybe it's because we've gotten away from the God that gave us what we were. For real? they took over probably about, it was after Alexander the Great, so they really didn't get that powerful until about the 200, 250 B.C. And the Goths and the Visigoths destroyed them about between 300 and 500 B.C., A.D., so not even 1,000 years from now. And at the early part of Rome, it was small little tribes. They were later pulled together, but they weren't all that. They didn't start out one day being the biggest country in the world. After they defeated Alexander the Great, then they really absorbed most of their power from when they did defeat the Greeks. Went to a woman yesterday and got my hair cut. Worst haircut I've ever had in the world. Y'all have been nice not to bring it out. Where are you from? She said, I'm from Macedonia. Oh, Alexander the Great. And the Greeks, she said, oh no, we're Macedonia. We're bigger than Greece. We started the whole thing. It's been 3,000 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get that tore up about it. Well, led by Philip Macedonia. We didn't talk about him. It's Alexander the Great. And I closed my eyes and woke up and thought, oh my gosh, we'll not go back to her. Very nice of you not to mention that last night. You should have seen it before I washed my hair. I was afraid. I almost didn't come today. Chapter 10, verse 23. That's not true. I know the Lord. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. And you know that. We think we control everything. We don't control our death. We don't control most of our situations, circumstances. The military can come get us. The police can come get us. The vandals can come get us. There's a lot of things going on. We think we are the boss. The guy that made the oil well bit. Shoot. That's weak. It's funny, but it's weak. The one that died penniless out in the desert. Several people said they gave him. They were in his will. Howard Hughes. Very rich. Died a pauper. A lonesome. Terrible death. And a lot of the great leaders have been that way, or the ones that thought they were great leaders. Look back in our own lifetime of how many of these powerful guys who ran big companies broke. Didn't have control. Oh Lord, now I know, Lord, that a man's life's not his own. It is not for a man to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but only with justice, not your anger. I mean, I don't mind getting a whooping. I just hope it's my fault that I get a whooping for, and not for somebody else. Don't blame me when it's not my fault. But give me the whooping to help me to learn. At least you reduce me to nothing. If you do it in anger, I can't gain nothing out of it. Pour out your wrath on the nations. They do not acknowledge you. It don't matter what God you believe, as long as you believe there is a God. Have you never heard that before? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, we can learn from that. For they have, I will say this, and I'm probably wrong to say it, but to me that's about like saying, it don't matter whose home you go to at night, just go to somebody's house, as long as you go to a house. Well, think about it. Because we'd all be going a different direction, probably go to a big hillside mountain mansion on top of a hillside or something. But it'd be different. For they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him completely. They have destroyed his homeland. Israel had gone downhill, then it divided, and then Jerusalem starts going downhill. This was after the temple was built by Solomon. This is after their glory days. They've gone completely against God. I needed some opinions. When was the best, say, 10, 20 year period, 25 year period in American history? What was it called, even if it had a name? What was it called? Did you ever think about that? I only wish I'd been brought up there in X number of years. Roaring 20s. You like the flappers, huh? Okay, that's an answer. Beautiful. It was beautiful. With a lot of things going on. No taxes. Well, you get to picture how old you are. If you want to be in George Washington's army, you can. I want to say it's 1750s. In 1950s, loved them. That was our. Some of us were born in the 50s. Don't remember much about them. Yeah, 50s were great. And why? You were already out of Vietnam, already out of Korea in the 50s? I mean, were you already out of the Army by then?
Well, I wasn't in the Army.
You weren't?
Well, I joined the Army in 55.
Well,
after Korea.
Okay. So what else?
Middle 50s to the middle 60s was pretty good.
It was an expansion period. What else?
I don't know if there really is a period.
Don't ruin my question. You say none of them's any better than the other? How about completely defined as evil?
I'm sorry?
Is evil or bad?
Well, certainly in the Dark Ages.
I'm talking about our country.
Oh.
I'm not talking about after 1700. Let's just go that specific. Well, now you can start with 64 when all the riots at the conventions. That's a good problem right there. That all the riots, and then when Vietnam was going on, all that kind of stuff. That was some pretty rough times. We had a period in the late 1800s after the Civil War was over with, where they called it the Great Expansion, where the people moved west, the churches moved west, there were a lot of population going on there. There's been a lot of good times. And there have been some sad ones. Would love to know of the good times versus the bad ones, how it related to the people and the relationship with God. Did they begin to do things that brought God down upon them with judgment? Because it sure happens in here. Verse 1 of chapter 11. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of the covenant. Tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Okay, we've squeezed it down now to just, it's called Judah. It's actually Judah and Benjamin tribes. And Jerusalem, the big city. So all the other people scattered to the four winds. Tell them that this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Cursed is the man who does not obey the terms of the covenant. The Ten Commandments were the covenant. That's the deal that God made with. And he would tell them, even far back as Abraham, you support Abraham and his children, you'll be supported. You turn against Abraham and his descendants, you'll be punished. So he says, you've broken the deal. The terms I've commanded your forefathers, when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace, I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. But I will fulfill the oath that I swore to your forefathers and give them the land flowing of milk and honey. And we know that he did give them that land when Joshua and Caleb led the Israelites across the Jordan River and went into Jericho. So they did get to do that. But as a nation, they didn't keep it very long. Starting with the first sin of taking the booty, taking stuff out of Jericho that was all supposed to be destroyed in the city of Ai. They were punished for that. Going all the way through when they quit conquering the lands and left the indigenous people there. And they became a thorn in the side. Did you ever get a sticker bush in your foot? You run around barefooted, and you got that sticker bush or a piece of glass or something in the bottom of your foot. It seemed like every time you land on that foot, you remembered, wish they hadn't done that because it hurt. Or a splinter in your fingertips. And it just keeps reminding you this is bad. I get that impression that that's what's happening to the people of Israel here. They didn't get rid of those who hated God. And it came back on them over and over and over. And we'll keep doing it. And it does it to us. We don't get rid of the things that God wants us to do, or we do the things that God doesn't want us to do. How many times have I told you? You ever heard that from usually your mama? How many times have I told you? And do not dare say one too many. or way too many. Not go over well. Then the Lord said to me, there's a conspiracy among the people of Judah. Do you know they had conspiracies back then? We talk about conspiracies today. They had conspiracies back 3,000 years ago. Among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem, they have returned to their sins of their forefathers, who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods. You getting the point here? He doesn't like them going to other gods. He's repeated at least six times. When we started chapter 7 today, 7, 8 today, all the way through, he repeats that at least six times. It's bothering him. He's trying to teach them. How many times should a person have to hear something to learn it? Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off. That's how we learn. It coming to us over and over and over again until we're ready to it. I've seen contests with good three-throw shooters. They set them up the line. They put a blindfold on them. Hand them a ball. Some of them will hit 40, 50, 70 in a row because they've practiced so many times a certain way that they're used to it. My grandmother made the best butterscotch pie ever been made in the history of the world. The problem is my grandmother took that recipe to her grave with her because she never wrote it down. Jean, you got it? In the second Sunday in February, it'll be my Valentine's present. I don't think I would rather eat a good butterscotch pie than I would a sirloin steak. And a lot more of it. Yeah. Or taco or anything else. But we get used to doing things. She never took a recipe. She didn't need it. Measure it in her hand, pop it in. Shake, 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 stir, stir, stir. To become an overnight success. Yeah. If you've not read that, it's called Turning Point. Is that the other one? Malcolm Gladwell has some good things. Beatles were an overnight success. They spent like 5 years in Germany playing music every night. They become an overnight success. Ed Sullivan didn't make that. Practice, practice, practice made him.
You come from a good family. Your grandmother made good pies. Your sister made good cookies.
And cakes as well. Oh, don't bring. You shouldn't be bringing up that cookie thing, Bob. That's. He didn't mean that, Beck. Yes, she does. When she chooses to. I will bring a disaster that cannot escape, although they cry out to me. I just did that, didn't I? I will not listen to them. The towns of Judah and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry to the gods whom they burn incense. But they will not help them. When disaster strikes. Verse 14, do not pray for these people or offer any plea or petition for them because I will not listen when they call me in time of distress. Well, he's pretty much told them, you don't change your ways, you're out of luck, Chuck. And the people didn't listen. Because the Lord, let's start. 18 is where we need to start next week because it's going to take a while. Anybody want to handle this? This is a scam call. Let's start with 18, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 18 next week because there's some time involved in that one. Yes, ma'am. Yes, please.